The title is Sweet Meditation of the Heart. So Sweet Meditation of the Heart. Where I got part of the title of that, let's go to the Psalms. This is another one of those messages that could have been given almost entirely from the Psalms, and we're going through a lot of Psalms today because meditation is something that the Psalms does focus on. But please turn to Psalm 104, and we'll read verse 34. Psalm 104, verse 34. And I'm assuming the recording is happening for the sermon. I've got a thumbs up so that everything is working smoothly today. The Psalm 104 and verse 34. It says here, may my meditation be sweet to him. May my meditation be sweet to him. I'll be glad in the Lord. So the question I have, that the first question that popped in my mind was, how can my meditation be sweet to God? How can my meditation be sweet to God? So that's what my plan is, to look at that today. And the title is Sweet Meditation of the Heart. Because as we go through this message, I think you will all see that it is very much a heart engagement when we meditate. Obviously, we're using our minds and our heart and God's Spirit. But it's engagement of the heart. So it's Sweet Meditation of the Heart is the title. So during this message, I want to cover give some answers to the five whys and the H. So is that right? And when you in writing class, we had to give make sure, have we covered the who, what, when, where, why, and the how, right? So the five W's and the H. I'm going to give some answers. So obviously the who, what's the who? Well, the who is us. Right? We are the ones that are to be meditating. Biblical meditation is a tool. So maybe I should first say, because we're getting to the what here, what is meditation? Biblical meditation is not emptying of the mind. Now, if you look up meditation online, or you go to some people that practice a form of meditation, it's emptying of the mind. And it's putting out everything from your mind. That is not biblical meditation. Biblical meditation is focusing our mind. It's very, very different. Focusing our mind. And it is a tool that we have been given. It was mentioned in the first message. Mr. Pate said, prayer, study, meditation. I don't know if he planned to say that, but he said that when he's talking about seeking first the kingdom of God. So prayer, study, meditation, fasting, these tools work together. And we don't have them all at once, but our focus today is biblical meditation. And two subcategories of that would be reflective meditation and calming or quiet mind meditation. But they're both focusing of the mind, not emptying the mind. So reflective meditation and quiet calm meditation. So why meditate? Why meditate? And I was reminded of this Wednesday night at the men's study. At the men's study this past Wednesday night, focus was given to the ministerial code of ethics. So meditation is part of the ministerial code of ethics. So it's part of the ethics of the ministry. Did I emphasize that enough? Meditation is part of the ethics of the ministry. Not just once it's mentioned twice. So there's a preamble, and then it says personal and family responsibilities. So number one in personal and family responsibilities for the ministry, and this is our ethics, right? Our code of ethics, and it's all taken from Scripture. Number one, I will strive to maintain my relationship with God through prayer. So it says prayer, Bible study, meditation, fasting. So I will strive to maintain my relationship with God. This is number one, with God through prayer. I will strive to maintain my relationship with God through Bible study. I will strive to maintain my relationship with God through meditation. I will strive to maintain my relationship with God through fasting. So these tools, prayer, Bible study, meditation, and fasting, are mentioned number one in the code of ethics for the ministry. And we're focusing on meditation today. I've got it highlighted in my copy here that I printed out. Right, highlighted. The second section, so there's 3 points under personal family responsibility. And if you want to look at this, if you haven't seen this before, you're welcome to look at this copy after church today. Right, the ethics that the ministry abide by. The second section is church and congregational responsibilities. So this time it's in number two. So number two under church and congregational responsibilities. In my preaching and teaching responsibilities, I will give priority to, what's the first one going to be? Prayer. I will give priority to meditation. I will give priority to prayer and meditation and preparation. Why is this written down? So that my presentations will be biblically based and clearly communicated. So every message that a minister of God, well, this is the United Church of God Code of Ethics, but anytime a minister in the Church of God, in the United Church of God, gets up, part of it, the ethics is that we have meditated on the message we're about to give. We've meditated on God's Scripture. We've meditated on that. Why? So that we can get our presentations will be biblically based and clearly communicated. So why meditate? Well, the first one we had from the code of ethics, I will strive to maintain my relationship with God through meditation. So why meditate? That's one reason. Why do you meditate? Now, I realize that I'm asking this question, why do you meditate? There's an assumption that you meditate. There could be some of you right now thinking, I don't know that I really do meditate. Hopefully, after today's message, you'll make it a priority in your Christian life. Why do you meditate? Here's a few bullet points that I put down. I thought about actually pausing right now for 2 minutes and saying nothing and letting you write down why you meditate. As I'm speaking, if you're doing that right now, that's probably the most important reasons. Why do you meditate? And if you're not doing it now, meditate on it later and consider. This is some bullet points I've got. To increase an understanding of God's way or the way. To be on fire for God's way of life. Who wants to be on fire for God's way of life? Okay, one of the tools is meditation. To strengthen our faith. To remember God. To seek God. To praise God. To put our life in perspective. Is there a psalm that might come to mind, even if I say that? Put our lives in perspective. King David, what he said, what is man that you're mindful of him as he was considering the great creation? Right? King David was meditating. I know King David meditated because I've read lots of his psalms preparing for this message. Okay, so reflective meditation. How? Let's do the H. How? How do we have reflective meditation? Some with quiet, without distractions, on our own. That's a good place to meditate. Somewhere quiet, without distractions, on our own. It doesn't just happen. It takes some planning. Now, sometimes it can happen, depending on circumstances, but it takes planning. Let's go to Genesis 24, verse 63. Look at some biblical examples. Back in Genesis. Genesis chapter 24. And verse 63. So this chapter is really important for the descendants that came afterwards, because this is Isaac and his wife, being his wife Rebecca. You know, servants went to find a wife for him. So what was Isaac about to meditate upon? Well, possibly he was meditating upon his future wife that he hadn't met yet. But I think the meditation would have been on God's promises. He knew there were promises. So he knew he was going to have a wife. But you notice what it says in verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. So what did Isaac do? He went out to the field in the evening. So it would have been quiet, a field somewhere that he knew. I imagine he'd probably gone to this field before. Now I'm extrapolating a little bit here, but it says he went out to a field in the evening. You notice often it's quiet in the evening, right? Less distractions, right? He'd done his daily chores, the things he's responsible for. So he's walking into a field, and this time a distraction happens. So I don't think this time it says, but he went out to the field in the evening, and he lifted up his eyes. And did he lift up his eyes because that was how he normally meditated? Maybe he lifted up his eyes and he started to look at the stars like King David. I don't know, but it says he lifted up his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. And on one of those camels was Rebecca. I don't know. We can think, but possibly Isaac was meditating upon God's promises. And then the camels are coming. And he's like, whoo, this is something good, right? And we're not going to go to the rest of the story. But Isaac meditated. It was somewhere quiet, without distractions. He was on his own. And it takes work and effort. It takes planning or allocating time. Go to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, have I said to you, if we had that discussion, I said, what happens in Joshua 1? Well, probably a lot of people would say, well, be strong and have good courage. With some words that God was giving to Joshua and was giving to the people of Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Ties in a little bit with the first message. But notice verse 8 of Joshua 1. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For when you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So the instructions to Joshua, he was now being the leader of the people of Israel. He was taking on the role that had been Moses' role. He was to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And the instructions that he was given was to meditate. Right? The instructions, you look at these instructions. Okay, build up the army, train the people, make sure we've got fast horses. That wasn't in any. Part of the instruction here was This book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. So why was that? So that he could make good decisions for himself and for God's people. You see why it's part of the ministerial code of ethics that we are to meditate. It was not to depart in day and night. Now there's various ways. Let's go to Psalm 7. We'll be going to the Psalms a lot today. Psalm chapter 7. Psalm chapter 7. Right? It says, O Lord, I put my trust. O Lord my God, in you I put my trust. But notice the descriptor here before we start into that part of the verse. It says, a meditation of David. So this Psalm 7, it's a meditation of David. But notice what it says. It says, which he sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush a Benjamite. So stop and think about that. This whole psalm, it says, was a meditation of David. So what, when I said there's various ways we meditate, what happened with the meditation of David? It became a song which he sang. I know there's some people in our congregation which write poetry. Where did that poetry come? From meditating on God's word, from meditation, focused meditation, and a song may result. And so then David meditated by singing. Have you ever thought of meditation that way? He sang. It says it was a meditation of David. We know that Jesus Christ, at some of the worst times in life, he was reciting some of the Psalms. And that's actually one of the Bible studies I want to cover. We do that in this coming year. There are times when he's reciting a psalm. Now, how can we recite psalms? Sometimes we sing psalms every Sabbath. Right now, I could start saying a few words and everybody here could finish that. That is God's word that is going through your mind. That is one way. Poetry. Poetry can stick in our minds. So then at other times it can come to mind, and instead of focusing on something else, we can say, oh, let's focus on that psalm or that poem that is based on God's word or that song. And then it may turn into a prayer. Sometimes prayers and meditation get interwoven. But I find that interesting. So there's not one set way to meditate. There's various ways. And here we have talk about song. And I think poetry. Right? And many of the psalms are a result of meditation. Or they're a recording of the meditation that happened. Okay, so reflective meditation. Where and when? Where and when? Well, we've already seen Joshua 1 verse 8, meditate day and night. Right, the instruction from the Lord was to meditate day and night for Joshua. We're in Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 1 verse 2. Psalm 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. So this is Psalm 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So Psalm 1 is just repeating what had already been said previously in God's word. We also already read that when we're thinking about where and when, Isaac went out to a field. Right, we already read that in Genesis 24. And in the evening, right, so where and when? David viewed the night sky. Let's go to one of those psalms, Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8, and we'll read verses 3 through 5. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. What is man that you are mindful of him? What was David doing? David was meditating on the incredible creation. He was looking up to the heavens. And the Son of Man that you visit him. For you've made him a little lower than the angels, and you've crowned him with glory and honor. So David was meditating on God's creation and thinking, oh, and you're concerned with me? So how many of you go out on a clear night in the evening and look at God's creation, look at the stars and how marvelous that is? And God is more concerned, feels as much more important to God, you, than this incredible array of heavens. David said, what is man that you're mindful of him? And he knew God's plan of salvation. I'm blessed in the neighborhood I'm living right now. It's a very good, nice neighborhood. And it's got these beautiful walking trails through pine trees. Some of you here have walked on some of those trails when you visited our house. It's really nice. I think there's over 30 miles of trails in this neighborhood. My very first morning when I walked after we moved into this house, I was walking through and I was like breathing in this fresh morning air, the pine trees. And I guess maybe I was partly meditating, but I was just enjoying. And I said, it just doesn't get any better than this. And I kept walking and I'm feeling good. God has poured out blessings abundantly on Linda and myself. And we get to live in this beautiful place. It just doesn't get any better than this. Then I walked up to a playground, right, which is where this trail led to. Beautiful little playground for children. And then I looked up, and there was Mount Rainier in all its splendor. And I think God might have been chuckling and saying, it gets better than this. So I enjoy going on walks with my wife. I also enjoy going on walks by myself, where my thoughts can focus without distractions. Sometimes distractions because, you know, a nice little dog will come along and want to look at me. Or little children walking, but a lot of times it's just me in God's creation. So the where and when. And I want to, part of my title was Sweet Meditation of the Heart. So I want to emphasize that part because it's heart meditation. Let's go to a couple of Psalms. Psalm 4 and verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Okay, who tries to apply this principle in their life? Be angry and do not sin. And how do you not sin? It says, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. So, where? Meditation can happen on your bed. How good is it to lie down? And there's anxieties and worries. And before you go to bed, you focus your mind on something good and you be still. And it says, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. How can you be still? Because you're meditating on things that calm you. You're meditating on things, on God's promises or things that God has done for you. Let's go to another psalm. Psalm 77, verse 6. Psalm 77 and verse 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. So this ties in with, right, a song of David that David sang. So I call to remembrance my song in the night. Some of you here may have written a song, right, based on God's word. And you, it may be you call to remembrance, your song. It says, in the night, I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. So what do we have here? Right, we've got the mind, the heart, and the spirit connection here. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Right, so it's focused meditation, diligent search. So the question I have, and this is important, where do you meditate? Right, why meditate? I hope that's clear in your mind. Where do you meditate? Where do you now plan to meditate? What quiet spot, place do you plan to meditate? Meditate before you go to sleep at night. Okay, so then the question is, meditate on what? Okay, the what. Meditate on what? Okay, let's keep going in Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 119. Meditate on what? Let's build a list from Scripture. And if you and you can add to this list, Psalm 119 and verse 137. Righteousness are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. So here's two things to meditate on: God's righteousness and God's upright judgments. There's two things: God's righteousness and God's upright judgments. Okay, keep your, if you want to keep a finger in Psalm 119, we'll come back to it. Let's go to Malachi. This is a beautiful scripture. I want to make sure I don't leave out. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. So who are those that fear the Lord? Right, I'm looking at them. Right, and they're listening online. It says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. But you notice what it says here. And the Lord listened and heard them. So the conversations that you were having before services, God was listening. Have you thought about that? The conversations we have after services, when we, you know, we have around food, around some tables together. Maybe one of the things you could share this afternoon would be some things that you've been meditating on. And I put it to you that you could ask somebody else in the congregation and say, what have you been meditating on recently? And most people in this congregation would be able to give you an answer. And you're like, oh, what a great thing to meditate on. And God is listening to our conversations. But you notice what then it says. It goes on. It says, so a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. I'm going to put my hand up for everybody. Who would like to be written in this book of remembrance? Right, I'm putting my hand up for everybody because I'm making an assumption that you'd like to be written in this book of remembrance. But who is in this book of remembrance? Those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name. So there's another thing to meditate on, God's name. Have you heard messages in the past? Have you done your own study about the meaning of God's names? The meaning of the names of Jesus Christ? Right, depth of meaning. And it's really good to take time to meditate on it and for our minds to really focus. Okay, this is one of the titles for God. What does that mean? What does that mean for me? What does it mean for that God's congregation? What does it mean for all mankind? I want to be in that book of remembrance. Okay, I said to keep your place. If you didn't, we're going back to Psalm 119. Let's pick up a couple more verses. Psalm 119. So that's a good reason to meditate in the book of remembrance. Those who fear God and meditate on his name. We're in Psalm 119. Let's pick up a couple of verses. Verse 15 of Psalm 119. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will meditate on your precepts. So what's another thing we can meditate on? God's precepts. And contemplate your ways. So contemplate God's ways. Maybe it's part of a meditation, could be on the lines of, hey, what I'm deciding to do right now, is that in line with God's ways? Let me think on that. You know, we often give it advice when we're making big decisions in our life. Why don't you take a night to think about it? Well, God says meditate on his ways. Verse 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts. Right? This is even more focused. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wondrous works. Okay, are you writing a list down? Here's another thing. We meditate on God's wondrous works, which we read in God's word, and we also experience in our own lives. Do you take time sometimes to meditate on the fact that you know to be here on God's Sabbath day, and others don't understand that? Meditate on that we have been called, and then the responsibilities that go with it. Okay, we're still in the Psalms. Psalm 145. Go towards the latter part of the Psalms. Psalm 145 and verse 5. 145 verse 5. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty. Well, this list is getting quite long, isn't it? And this list is from God's word. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. On your wondrous works. Okay, and we don't want to just have the Psalms. Let's go to the New Testament. Philippians 4. Who knows what verse I'm going to? Who has number 8 in the mind? Philippians 4 verse 8. This is another one of those scriptures that could be memory scriptures. So if you think, okay, what should I meditate on today? Well, here's a list. Some people like having lists. And sometimes, well, that's too overwhelming. Well, just take one of these pieces of the list. And leading up to this verse 8, right, in verse 6 it says, be anxious for nothing, and in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be known to God. So there was things that people were being causing them to be anxious. Does anybody have anxiety today? Right, there were things mentioned in the first message, the first message today, that cause us anxiety, can cause us anxiety. And that says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ. So how do you guard your heart and your mind? Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true. Okay, rather than just rattling off this list, some of you may have this verse memorized. Focus on whatever things are true. Whatever things are noble, Do you see people in God's church doing noble things? Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely. Oh, God's word tells me I should meditate on things that are lovely. Now, is that difficult when you're full of anxiety and you're worried about where you're going to live? You're worried about your health. I've been worried about my health. God says, focus on things that are lovely. So what do you focus on? What are some things that are lovely? The beautiful hugs you receive when you come to church. The precious cards that come in the mail. Knowing that thousands of prayers are going up on your behalf. That's lovely. That's pure. That's good. If there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, this is something you can do. And Mr. Corbett has mentioned about taking the address book with the faces and focusing on each, on people. What about focusing on, is there anything praiseworthy? And taking that to individuals in our address book, in our local congregation, and think, oh, yeah, that person's really good at this. And think about it. When I was teaching second grade, I would actually take my list of students, and they weren't all the greatest students, right? Some of them were real stinkers. My first second grade class I was teaching, I think there was 4 girls in the class and 20-something guys. And it wasn't a good mix. So what did I do? Oh, sometimes I wanted to yell at these kids. What are you thinking? Well, that's not what God's word says. It says, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. So at night, I would meditate. Okay, what is something good about this child? God, help me, because I'm really struggling. And then I would share that praise with that child. Now, it's much easier to find praiseworthy things about the people that I'm seeing right now. Much easier. And this is a precious child that I was talking about in second grade. And I had to really work to find praiseworthy things. But it made me a better teacher by following God's principles. If there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, do you ever get annoyed at somebody in God's church? I'll speak for myself. I have got annoyed at people in God's church before. Can you believe that? I've got frustrated. What's God's word says? If there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Don't meditate on all this negative stuff that is going to mess up your brain and cause you not to live God's way uprightly. How important is meditation? Godly meditation. 1 Timothy 4. We were just in 1 Timothy, weren't we, in the first message? Past it. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. It says, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. What were the things? This was instruction from Paul, the Apostle Paul, to Timothy. And this is one of these sections that we take for the ministry. But what is it talking about, right? It says, let no one despise your youth. Be an example to the believers in verse 12, in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. It's in verse 12. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that was given to you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands, by the presbytery, by the elders. Right? Some of there's people that have had hands laid on them to become elders in the church. There are people here that had hands laid on them to be deacons in the church. All of us, right, that have come to the point of repentance and baptism have had hands laid on us and received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It says, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. So this takes work and effort. So there's that meditation that happens, you know, on a quiet walk. But there's also meditation maybe in a quiet room that you've planned. It says, entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Now, do you ever see someone at church and think, wow, what a great example? Maybe it would be good to say, what have you been meditating on lately? Because your progress is evident. How nice would that be? That if people came up to Timothy after he'd received these instructions from Paul, and people in the congregation came up and says, you know, I thought you were just a young buck, but your progress in teaching God's word, in living God's way, is so evident. And he might have said, well, Paul instructed me to meditate on these things. You want to improve in your example of living God's way? Meditate on that. Okay, so reflective meditation. I also want to touch on quiet mind meditation, which ties in, I think, with the first message. Because there are times when we may have so many stresses in our lives. We may have trials. I've had trials in my life. We may have worries, concerns, and they're legitimate concerns. They're legitimate worries. It's not like someone can come along, oh, don't worry about that. Are you kidding me? We can have anxieties. We could have anxiety, the first message, right? There's things happening in the world which are not normal. There are wars happening, rumors of wars. Turmoil, right? You can add the list. Are there things that are really causing you to be anxious? Isaiah 30. The book of Isaiah. I find some interesting instruction that was given here. Isaiah 30 and verse 15. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. It says, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. Okay, I'm in the midst of a big problem. And you're saying, in returning and rest, I'll be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you notice it says, in quiet and confidence shall be your strength. What was really being said? Meditate on the strength of God. Meditate on the confidence in God. But then it goes on. But you would not. And you said, no, we will flee on horses and we'll flee on really fast horses. Well, guess what? The pursuers have even faster horses. No matter how fast your car, now somebody here may have a really nice car. I got to rent a Dodge Ram 1500 with 9,000 miles on the clock for the feast. Probably never get to drive one again. But it was really nice driving this truck, right? The extended cab, lots of room. And I probably could have gone quite fast in that truck if I'd wanted to. I could have gone cross country, right? Four-wheel drive, just push the button. But somebody else would have a faster truck. Somebody else would have a faster horse. It says, therefore you shall flee, verse 16, and we will ride on swift horses, right? Not just, but we'll ride on swift horses. Therefore, those who pursue you shall be swift. So we could come up with solutions ourselves. As we heard in the first message, we could prepare, and it's important to prepare ourselves for things, but we could have the swiftest vehicle. We could have a jet plane, or somebody else has got a faster one. Somebody's got a missile that goes faster than the plane. Whatever the case is. It says, the instruction was, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Quiet mind meditation. It goes against what we naturally think. Oh, but hold on, I can put up this and do this protection. I can do this by myself. But the protection really is quiet mind meditation. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Verses 10 through 11. And yes, I did meditate on this message. Psalm 46, verse 10 through 11. Be still and know that I am God. Why would there be instructions to say, be still and know that I'm God? Because you're not being still. You're running around like a little kitten, you know, with a new toy. And sometimes we do that. There's been times I could recite to you times when I feel like Linda and I have become the Three Stooges, right, running around. It was just pretty hard for two people to come three people. But it's like, woo, wah, woo, wah. Okay, hold on. Who's in charge? Oh, thankfully, not me. Be still and know. It says, be still and know. Not just, oh, I think God's in charge. How can you do that? Because you really think about it. Know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Psalm 63. Verse 6. When I remember you on my bed. Again, remember that lying down on your bed? When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. What are the night watches? The night watches are the time when most of us should be sleeping, right? Because we're not on night watch. There's times when I wake up in the middle of the night and my mind is thinking, racing on something. Sometimes it's because one of you has asked me a question at church, and or when we've been meeting at dinner or sometime, you've raised a question and my mind was thinking about it and thinking about it. And I wake up in the middle of the night, and now I've got to go to God's word and write stuff down. Some of you have caused me to do that in the night watches. I just want you to know, you've caused me to think about God's word. There's other times we wake up in the night watches because there's anxiety and anxiousness. And it says, I remember you. There are some people, I mentioned about song and poetry. There's some people that at the end of each day write down a list of how God has intervened in their life that day. Is that a great thing to meditate on? Some people have prayer journals. Right, and some of the ladies are better at this than I am. Right, some people have prayer journals. What a great thing to meditate on, to go back at prayers and like, oh, God said that was a good prayer because he answered it back over here. He said, that's a good prayer, and I'm going to answer it actually better than what you have prayed for. And I've just... How good is that? Some people write down lists each day or each week. So what happens? That means people set aside time to put things down. Some people need to write things down. And then you can pick up your paper and you can meditate on those things. Ways God has intervened in your life. See, we can... Quiet mind meditation, we can focus upon times that we know that God has worked in our life. We know. If I ask you right now, if this was an interactive study, I said, okay, who can give an example of time when God intervened in your life? And everyone here could put their hand up, including some of the children. You'd be amazed at some of the answers they would. They would say, oh, Mr. Porteous. And you'd like, oh, let's just think about that example. When God is intervening in your life. Sweet meditation of the heart. Let's go back to Psalm 104 where we started. Psalm 104 and verse 34. It says, may my meditation be sweet to him. Right? That's capital H. The him is God. God the Father. I will be glad in the Lord. And then at the end it says, of this chapter, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, praise the Lord. Come back to verse 1 and 2 of this psalm. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. So at the end of the psalm, verse 34, it says, may my meditation be sweet to him. What was being meditated on? Read the whole psalm. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself in, with light as with a garment. Right, this is really meditating here. Who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. Drop down to verse 10. Verse 10. He sends the springs into the valleys which flow from the hills. They give drink to every beast in the field. Right? Meditate on what things are lovely. What a great thing to picture. Right? God gives water in the hills, right? Springs in the valley, flows from the hills, gives drink to every beast of the field, the wild donkeys which quench their thirst. Who thinks about donkeys? Right? What, let alone wild donkeys? But this person was really thinking and meditating on the blessings that God was pouring out. Right? The wild donkeys. Their thirst is quenched. Verse 12, by then the birds of the heavens have their habitation. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your words. This psalm is a result of somebody meditating on these good things, on the blessings of God, right? On God's majesty and his splendor. We can keep going. Verse 14, he causes the grass to grow for the cattle, the vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth, and wine that makes glad the heart of man. Right, wine is a good thing, but it's not abused. Oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. I love bread. And then God said, okay, you've got to be gluten-free. Right? So I really appreciate the days when I ate gluten. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he planted. Right? What are things you can think about in this state of Washington? Right? There's beautiful green hills, all the colors of the autumn colors. The splendor of Mount Rainier. Most places in the world don't have a mountain they can look at like Mount Rainier. It's quite unique. It is so voluminous. right? Because it starts off so close to sea level, right? Other high mountains start off, they've already got lots of these foothills and these other hills living up, so the mountain kind of starts already high up. Mount Rainier starts really quite close to sea level, you know, compared to other mountains. And so we just see it in all its glory and created for us. Right? And things in God's creation, it just keeps going through. Verse 20, you make darkness and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. Young lions roar after their prey. They seek the food. So this is really someone who's really meditated and thought through. And then it comes to verse 34, may my meditation be sweet to him. I'll be glad in the Lord. I'll let you read the rest of Psalm 104 and just think how that asking, please, let my meditation be sweet. Our meditation, it's a tool that God has given to us. It's part of the ministerial ethics. Our meditation should deepen and strengthen our relationship with God. One more verse to finish on. Psalm 19 and verse 14. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Don't you love that? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.